Let's go into session. Let's call the roll, please. Oh, turn my cell phone. Okay, there we go. Okay, let's call the roll.
Roll call for Monday, January 26th. Anderson District 2.
Here.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks,
here.
Johnson,
here.
Kinski,
here.
Landon,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Pappas,
here.
Perkins,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Ross,
here.
Rothfuss,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Fladern,
here.
Wasserberger,
here.
President Nicholas.
Here.
29 present, 1 excused.
Okay, prayer by Reverend Gilbert, retired United First Methodist.
I was prepared to say the president.
Sorry.
Thank you, Senator Perkins.
I count it a privilege to be your chaplain this week and to share with you in prayer. So may we pray. Eternal God, everlasting life, we pause this morning to give thanks for those persons who once sat where we now sit and who stood where we now stand. We thank you for those who made personal sacrifice in order to provide public service, for those perceptive souls who were able to see trees of truth within the forest of falsehood, for those constructive builders who were able to turn legislative bills into building blocks upon which a solid state is built. We have inherited a legacy of legitimacy. May your spirit permeate our hearts and our minds so we may keep on doing what is honorable, just, pure, commendable, and of excellence. And may the God of peace abide with us all. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Gilbert. Reading, correction, and approval of journal. The reading clerk, please read the journal committee report.
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of January the 23rd, 2015, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jeff Wasserberger, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Are you sure there's not any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. For today, I do not believe we have a doctor of the day today. So, you know, govern yourselves accordingly. We do have a nurse of the day, although she does not appear to be here yet, but Kristen Colbrand from Weston County Health Services is our nurse for the day, and she shows up, we'll applaud for her later. We also would like to introduce, we have a new student, Paige, with us. Nicholas, is it Weber? Weber, Nicholas Weber. So, Nicholas, if you come around here, we've got something for you. We have, you probably will have to say some words here. You can say words at the beginning or you can say words at the end. Would you rather save them for the end?
Yeah.
Now, my understanding is you're related to President Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
Our apologies and condolences for that. But I'm sure that's why we're going to have you speak at the end, because if you're anything like, is he your uncle? Or is he your cousin?
Something like that.
He's related to you. So if you have any of his genes, you'll probably speak a long time. So we appreciate that. But we do have this medallion with the Great Seal of Wyoming that it's a lapel pin. You can wear on your lapel.
Yeah.
It'll help you from being that and a couple of a dollar gets you a hot chocolate at the local convenience store. And I think President Nicholas wants to reserve some remarks. Imagine that for a little bit later time. But welcome. We appreciate you and hope that you have a good good stay here. Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. Say something.
Oh, if you want to say something now, you come here.
I guess I don't have much to say, but don't make fun of me from being from Colorado.
Oh, man. You know, I think we'll just move on with that. We won't even touch that one. I see. I guess now next order of business is introduction, reading, and reference of bills. Senate File 120, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 120, Uniform Interstate Family Support Act, sponsored by Senator Ross.
Senate File 120, Senator Ross, do you want this in appropriations? Do you want to hear this bill in appropriations, or would you rather go somewhere else? Okay. Senate File 120 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Does that go back to you? Senate File 118, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 118, Personal Opportunity with Employment Responsibilities, sponsored by Senator Kraft.
Senate File 118 is referred to Health and Labor, Committee Number 10. No?
No, 7. It's up in the corner.
Up in the corner? Oh, where they're predetermined. Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, Political Subdivision. Thanks for the tip. Senate File 119, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 119, Hospice Respite Care. Sponsored by Senator Scott.
Senate File 119 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services. Reports from standing committees.
January the 26th, 2015, Mr. President, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 101, Veterans In-State Tuition, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Anderson, 02, Cole, Dockstader, Pappas, and Rafa, Senator Co-Chairman. January the 26th, 2015, Mr. Vice President, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 98, School Athletic Safety. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Anderson, 02, Coe, Dockstader, Pappas, and Rothfuss, Senator Co-Chairman. January the 23rd, 2015, Mr. Vice President, your Committee Number 9, Mineral Business Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 92, Workers' Compensation County Elected Officials. Reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Anderson, 28, Cole, Cooper, Rothfuss, Von Fledren, Acting Chairman Rothfuss.
Marty. That it? Senator Von Fledren.
President, I believe that was that Senate File 92? That was just read in as a committee report. Senate File 92 does have an appropriation on it. I ask that it be, without objection, re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2.
Without objection? So ordered. Any other business? Actually, I need to backtrack just a minute. I forgot two important things. Today, we forgot the historical event of the day. In 1932, an earthquake occurred in Yellowstone that was felt regionally. That was something. And then the thought for the day is, there are no traffic jams along the extra mile. That thought comes from Roger Staubach. We're now to that. We're now to bills on second reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
May I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Members of the Senate, just a reminder that this Wednesday is bill cutoff day, and it's if you look at our Senate Rule 4-5, it explains to you the specifics of that. But essentially, if you don't have your bill in, you just can't walk in and say, I got an idea. You've got to have it almost to the point where you're ready to get a bill number. And that cutoff is Wednesday. And if you come into the bill after that, it requires two-thirds vote of the Senate to introduce a bill after that cutoff. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. All right, bills on second reading. First bill, Senate File 6. Second reading of Senate File 6.
Senate File 6, Aquatic Invasive Species.
There are no amendments. Senate file number 6 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection. Oh, Senator Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not objecting, but just a little bit further explanation. When I presented this bill on Committee of the Whole, I think I may have misstated the circumstances for the administration of this program. The administration itself is run by Game and Fish, but State Parks is still doing some inspections. So if you see some inspections being done by State Parks, don't be surprised by it. One of the things this bill does is State Parks no longer takes the fees and handles the fees. That is Game and Fish's bailiwick now.
Thank you, Senator Burns. Senate File 6 is ordered to third reading. Senate File 38, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 38, controlled substances, first offense for possession.
There's no amendment. Senate File 38, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Senate File 46, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 46, fire misdemeanors.
No amendments. Senate File 46, having been read two times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Senate File 85. Second reading of Senate File 85.
Senate File 85, Adult Foster Care Pilot Project.
There are no amendments. Senate File 85, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 88, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 88, Emergency Care Stroke and Acute Heart Attack Patients.
There are no amendments. Senate File 88, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 94, the second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 94, Substance Abuse Assessments, Non-Residents.
There are no amendments. Senate File 94, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate Joint Resolution, number 2. Second reading of Senate Joint Resolution.
Senate Joint Resolution 2, Investment of State Funds.
There's an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read the amendment?
Senate Joint Resolution 2, second reading amendment number 2, page 2, lines 1 through 8.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate Joint Resolution number 2, And members of the Senate, we had some discussion, some good discussion on this, and this, of course, deals with the amendment, proposed amendment to our Constitution dealing with our pooled interest account to give more latitude to the state treasurer to possibly invest those funds into things other than T-bills and short-term investments to get a greater rate of return. And when we talked about the original language in the bill, there was, first of all, there was a little confusion. If you look at the original bill and you go through the, on page two of the bill, lines three through five, about whether the two-thirds majority, supermajority vote required that just to, in fact, to make that authorization to invest in those funds, or if it included you, the legislature needing two-thirds vote to make any statutory changes to that. And if you read the amendment, it's very clear on how this amendment's set up, and I'll explain a little bit about it, and then I'll yield to my tall colleague from Natrona County that was really instrumental in helping us pull this language together. And what when you look at it, and the language is pretty much the same when we start on line 5 and through lines 21, and we completely deleted the previous amendment, the Nicholas Amendment, to all these lines and reinserted this language. And the only thing that really changed on the previous one is the, other than the language, the main body of the language under subtitle being a little 2I, was on line 21 we took out the word and. We thought that was problematic and could be misconstrued and have some unintended consequences. But what we did, Mr. Vice President, is we said the legislature may authorize the investment of funds not designated as permanent funds of the state in the capital stock of any association or corporation and may designate which of these funds may be invested. And so the thinking there, that clearly is a majority. So a majority of the people, a majority of the Senate at this particular time may authorize the investment and may tell how those funds are invested. Then the next part of it kicks in, and Mr. Vice President says the legislature may prescribe different investment conditions for each fund. Any legislation establishing or increasing the percentage of any fund that may be invested under the subparagraph shall be passed only by two-thirds vote of all the members of each of the two houses voting separately. So it requires a two-thirds vote to make the first step to invest in any increases in that. And with that, I'll be glad to yield to my colleague from Natrona County to further explain.
Thanks, Senator Bebout. Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, on and for the amendment. Mr. Vice President, it is exactly as was described. I would say, as a practical matter, the first legislation authorizing investment in funds of funds that are not permanent funds will probably require the two-thirds, because it will probably have a percentage in it that is established, and that would require the two-thirds under the last sentence. So anytime you say we're going to invest X percentage in of a particular non-permanent fund in common stocks, or you're going to increase that percentage, you've got to have the two-thirds. And that's the additional protection that is afforded so that we don't go getting ourselves in a circumstance where we're engendering the corpus or whether we're getting illiquid. And remember, some of these non-permanent funds do not have to be particularly liquid, the Wildlife Trust Fund being an example. Some of them, however, we've appropriated the money. We're going to need it in some set time, and we've got to be pretty careful about liquidity, and that's the reason for the two-thirds vote on establishing the percentage. Notice that two-thirds vote does not require if we decide to back the percentage down. That's intended. That's just being just a little extra cautious. Vice President, the other thing we did was we felt some of the other things that had been discussed as possible precautions really were appropriate for legislation implementing this Constitution and not appropriate for the Constitution itself. You have to be careful in writing Constitution that you don't get into the weeds of what's needed right now as opposed to the long-term principles. And the long-term principle here is, yes, we can invest the non-permanent funds, a portion of them, in common equities. But the protection against going too far is not written in the Constitution explicitly. It's in the two-thirds vote you've got to have to establish that percentage or to increase it. And so that's the extra protection that's there. Mr. Vice President, we'd be happy to answer any questions on this. It is second reading, so if somebody wants to play with the language, that can be done. But we think we've solved most of the problems that were identified previously.
Thanks, Senator Scott. Senator Offus.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I think we might have gotten it right this time. This looks pretty good. I want to walk through it and make sure I understand it. What it sounds like is if I'm setting up a new fund and I decide that I want 20% of that fund, up to 20% of that fund, to go to equities, then upon the establishment of that fund, because I'm saying we're going to have a cap of 20%, I need a two-thirds of both chambers. At that point, it is an appropriation into the fund following our standard appropriation rules, so 50% of the chamber if we want to add more to that. If I want to increase from 20% to 25% the equity investment in that fund, we come back for a two-thirds majority vote of each chambers. However, if I wanted to go from 20 to 15, we would be able to do that by a simple majority. That's my understanding of it. I think the language has it fairly tightly, and I'm on and for this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Senator Offus. Senator Von Plater.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I'm not quite sure I understand what the senator from the Ivory Towers just said, because he was talking within a percentage within a fund, and I understand this. It no longer says as related to how we invest the Wyoming Permanent Trust Fund. That was the original language. This is taking that out. In fact, the original language that was struck says same manner as permanent funds of the state. So we struck that out of there. So I guess we don't have those limitations. But I would understand that we wouldn't go in so far into the weeds that we would say 20% in this particular name fund and 15% in this particular name fund. I just thought we'd say 35% could go into equities and let the treasurer and that group figure it out. And that we wouldn't have to come back because he's going to move 10% around of that. I just thought we'd say X percent in equities, or however we would state that, and that would be good enough. That's my understanding of this bill.
Thank you, Senator Onflater. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. You know, I would concur with the good senator from Powder River Basin. If we start getting in the weeds and start putting percentages of what we're going to have in a subgroup of an asset and asset allocations, you know, that is getting so far above our pay grade on this floor. Excuse me, guys. I mean, we're very, very competent people in many, many areas. But the fact is that markets can move 5, 6, 7%, and you can go out of balance of an asset allocation overnight. And we're only here a couple times a year. And do we really want to take and go in and each one of us track every account as to whether or not it's at 15% or 20%? I just don't believe we can. I think in the manner and the course of business that has been tried, tested, and true since the first time we begin investing in stocks is in the same manner in which we invest in the permanent mineral funds, relying upon the expertise of the treasurer and the people that he employs. Now, we don't want to get into the weeds. I can't tell you, you know, the amendment right now, what it does or doesn't do, but I can tell you that's the direction we're headed, to where we're micromanaging every classification, and that we're probably going way, way, way too far on the day-to-day management of this thing. You know, and whether we have to come back in and say we're going to go from 20% down to 15% and it's a majority vote, that's getting way too into the weeds. Those are decisions that are best left for the experts. And these are people like R.V. Coons. And these are people that do it for a living. We don't do it for a living. We haven't any idea about liquidity as far as the tests, the stress tests that these people can subject it to. And they can do it. I mean, we could put something when we come back in, not in this Constitution, that, yeah, we want to have a worst-case scenario of what's happened in the last 50 years and make sure we have liquidity. And they can show you what asset classifications and asset mixes that you need to make sure you don't do that. We've done that with the retirement center. And we've ran that thing and just ran that thing through the ringer as far as making sure that we can make our payments, you know, on a year-in and year-out basis. And we can. So, you know, this should be real simple. Yes, we want to invest in stocks in the same manner that we've done successfully for years and years and years.
Thank you, Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. Vice President, I'm sorry. I took that down a rabbit hole unintentionally.
For your second time.
For my second time, that's correct. I took that down a rabbit hole unintentionally. I was just looking for when the voting thresholds were. There is no implication that we will micromanage this account or deal with specific funds or start saying invest in A and invest in B. That was not my question and that was not my intent. My understanding of this amendment is that we would do things exactly as we do them now in terms of leaving the authority up to the treasurer. We will not be getting into that. I simply wanted to know where the thresholds of voting came into place on the establishment of funds and the funding through appropriation of those funds so that I knew the mechanism that led to resources being allocated to them. But if I misled the body into believing that we would then be micromanaging what the actual funds were comprised of, I apologize for that and I hope that wasn't communicated.
Senator Bevout.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I just would remind members of the body to refrain from using individual companies or names when we're debating. If you would please do that, that's a proper protocol for the Senate.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Senator Emmerich, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I would like to hear one of the sponsors comment on how the treasurer feels about this.
Okay, so this is kind of like a whack-a-mole yep. For you guys are jumping up and down. All right, Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, for my second time, the treasurer assisted us in writing the amendment, and I think I can accurately report to you he's in full support of it. It took some time working it out with the treasurer. He had his people there, and we looked at it very carefully. Question with regard to the are we going to get into the weeds with each of the particular funds and doing it the same as the permanent funds? It does appear that using exactly the same allocation that we use with the permanent funds would be a mistake because they do not have, Mr. Vice President, liquidity demands on them that these funds do. So we're going to want a different allocation. It also appears that within all the numerous categories of other funds, and I can't give you a count of how many there are. As you start getting the smaller ones, there get to be a lot of them, that they basically fall into two categories. One, and the Wildlife Trust Fund is a prime example. We aren't going to spend the corpus out of it. We're going to spend the interest off, the earnings off it. The corpus is going to be there long term. That kind of a fund can have a much higher percentage in common equities because you don't have the liquidity demands on it that you have on others. Other funds, some of these things, we've appropriated the money. We're going to spend it in the next biennium. There, you really have to worry about liquidity and risks of losing money. And if those funds are going to be invested in common equities, it better be a much, much smaller percentage. So the amendment is crafted so that we can separate and say, okay, this fund goes in that category, this fund goes in that category, and where we can also write it so the treasurer has some discretion as to up to a certain level, how far is he going to take it. That's possible under this amendment, and it I will represent to the Senate it should be, and that's the kind of thing that needs to be in the Constitution, the procedure for setting it, but not the specifics, and that's what this amendment does. So I would urge adoption of the amendment, Mr. Vice President.
Thanks, Senator Scott. Anyone else before the sponsor takes his last time? Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. On and for the amendment, and my colleague from Goshen County made some very good points, but that's the kind of debate that I think if this should pass, we should be having. And all we did with the way this is crafted is give the legislature the ability, and if you look at the language, it says the legislature may prescribe different investment conditions for each fund. And the thinking behind that is, and several of the funds that my colleague from Natrona County talked about are different. And the main one, quite frankly, is the LISR account that has, $1.8 billion, and who knows where we're going to be in a year, two, three, 4 years out. And so we wanted to draft this language that we may prescribe how that one might be, but never was intended to get into the weeds and do all those kinds of things. That's what this body will do should this pass when we develop and prescribe the statutory requirements and how we do it. I really think this is a good way, but if there's a better way to say what we've intended, that was the intent, I think this accomplishes that. So I'd ask the body to support the second reading amendment.
Thank you, Senator Bebout. Are you ready for the question? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 2 to Senate joint resolution number 2, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has passed. Back on Senate joint resolution number 2. Senate joint resolution number 2 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Ms. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. Senator Bebout. Mr. Vice President, we do have a consent list, and I would move the third reading consent list, which as follows. Senate File 4, Dry Bean Research. Senate File 18, Expungement of Misdemeanors. Senate File 27, Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highway. Senate File 37, State Protection of Data Privacy. Senate File 51, Water Development Amendments. Senate File 64, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Act Extension. Senate File 65, Savings and Loan Associations, and Senate File 70, Cooperative Electrical Utility Rate Adjustment Notice.
Would anyone like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Before I do that, let me read each one again. Senate File Number 4, Dry Bean Research. Senate File 18, Expungement of Misdemeanors. Senate File 27, Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highway. Senate File 37, State Protection of Data Privacy. Senate File 51, Water Development Amendments. Senate File 64, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Act Extension. Senate File 65, Savings and Loan Associations. Senate File 70, Cooperative Electric Utility Rate Adjustment Notice. Would anyone like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
On the consent list, Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter. Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Escobel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott. Von Fladern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
Aye.
President Nicholas excused. On the consent list, 29-aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority.
Okay.
Senate File 4, Dry Bean Research.
Senate File 4, are there any changes? Burns, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 4, 27 aye, 2 no, 1 excused.
Having received affirmative vote of the majority.
We've
got to do each one? Okay, I thought we did them one at a time. So never mind. Thanks. Rookie.
Senate File 18, are there any changes? Hastert, aye to no.
Case, aye to no.
Kraft, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Anderson, 02, aye to no. Case no to I.
Are we sure? Yeah.
Senator Case, are you sure?
Closing vote.
I wonder what he was.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 18, 24 aye, 5 no, 1 excused. Senate File 27, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 27, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 37, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 37, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 51, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 51, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 64, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 64, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 65, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 65, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 70, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 70, 29 aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 4, Dry Bean Research, Senate File 18, Expungement of Misdemeanors, Senate File 27, Vietnam Veterans Welcome Home Highway, Senate File 37, State Protection of Data Privacy, Senate File 51, Water Development Amendments, Senate File 64, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Act Extension, Senate File 65, Savings and Loan Associations, and Senate File 70, Cooperative Electric Utility Rate Adjustment Notice, have passed the Senate. Do we have... Thank you. Third reading of Senate File 8.
Senate File 8, State Education Accountability and Assessment, sponsored by the Education Accountability Committee, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment, I think, isn't there?
Senate File 8, third reading amendment number 1, page 13, line 8.
Senator Cole.
Mr. Vice President, move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 8. Members of the Senate, this continues our discussion that we had on second reading on the fourth year of the math requirement. And obviously that was a fairly close vote, and we had a good discussion, and we don't need to reiterate those points that were made on second reading. What this does is that this eases some of the pain out there, hopefully. The amendment says that effective school year 15-16 and each school year thereafter, one additional year of mathematics, which may include, emphasize may, elective courses incorporating applied mathematics or mathematical methods typically used in science, engineering, information technology, or business and industry, if the course is approved by the local board of trustees. That's what the amendment does. It eases up a lot of the pain that people had on the floor in second reading of that fourth year of math. With that, I'd ask that you support the amendment.
Thank you. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just reading this, and I'm thinking that in 2020 you're going to have five additional courses in mathematics because of the way it's written, effective 15-16 in each school year after, thereafter. So to me it looks like you're going to have one additional year of mathematics. I wasn't here for the discussion, but I'm just looking at this, and it looks like it just goes on and on and on and on and on infinitum to where the only thing you're teaching is math. But
that's a good idea, huh?
Senator Wasserberg.
Well, thank you, Mr. Vice President. You know, this amendment requires a lot of different things from local school districts, but the one thing that it is going to require is that teachers of elective courses are going to have to rewrite their curriculum. And having served on a curriculum committee before, that takes hundreds of hours of work. And essentially what you're asking is for every elective course to do that so that they can keep their students. So this is fairly onerous in that respect. And secondly, reading the amendment, who checks it? Does the State Board of Education, does the Wyoming Department of Education, ultimately it says the local school board. So whatever the local school board says is okay is going to be accepted. And, you know, lastly, I looked at this, and I remember years ago being in the House, and we had a bill called the two-tiered diploma. And we tried to amend that bill on about every reading that we could, and we mucked that up something horrible. And if you look in this bill, we're actually deleting the two-tiered diploma. We're not going to do that anymore. And so let's not muck this up. Let's leave it 3 years. Remember that your success curriculum kids have to take 4 years of math. All this is allowing is for those kids down there that want to take an elective have that opportunity. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. George Corleader.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, and I want to be sure that I'm reading this correctly. I'm not quite sure. If you go into page 13 and you look at the language existing, there's already 3 years of math, so we're saying there will be one additional year, so it actually is going to be mandated 4 years of math. But all you're doing is saying that, well, okay, you do have to have 4 years of math, but oh, by the way, you have electives if the course is approved by the local board. Well, they have to approve one of them because it is mandated to have 4 years, and that fourth year would be into this. So I don't think we really gain much other than try to still get around to having 4 years of math, which was what the debate was all about the other day, which for all those reasons, I thought it was a bad idea, and I'm not sure this amendment gets to what we're trying to accomplish, so I would speak against the amendment.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate sponsors for putting something together that looks for some compromise there, and on the surface it looks good, but our school boards, as directed by the parents at the local level, they still have that opportunity to make the decision at the local level. They don't need our help on this one. What we've done is taken something that wasn't favorable in the beginning. We put a different flavor of frosting on it, but it's still the same mandate. If we're trying to actually put local control back at the local level with our boards and with our parents, then a vote no is needed on this amendment.
Senator Emery.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I was one of those yes votes to eliminate that extra year of math. And I arrived home and was met by a constituent who has a BS in mathematics and a master's in statistics, a PhD in educational methods for math and statistics. And she briefly and effectively taught me the error of my ways. I think the bruises will heal within the week. But I stand four square for this amendment because I think it provides a compromise that accomplishes many things.
Thanks, Senator Emmerich.
Well, that's
first and foremost.
Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, for my first time on for the amendment. One thing I'd like to point out to the body is that I had distributed a list of what other states do and what their requirements are, so you have that in your box. And there are 15 states right now that require 4 years of math. So from the standpoint of can this be done, the answer must be yes to the extent that 15 other states have done it. And there are states there that have rural districts, there are states there that have small schools, and yet they understand that one of the key indicators of excellence is 4 years of mathematics, and if we truly do want to get to the point where we can say that we're striving for number one in the country, then we need to start setting the bar high, and this is one way to go about doing that. Mr. Vice President, I understood a lot of the discussion in our last debate on this as being concerns about what the districts could accomplish. A lot of that goes back to how many highly qualified teachers you have, how many math teachers, and a rather passionate debate around the concept that we need to allow access to CTE and other career-related courses instead of simply emphasizing straightforward mathematics. This amendment attempts to do that by basically leaving it up to your local school board whether a course is going to be allowed to count towards the mathematics requirement for that fourth year. This is a hybrid approach that some of the other states that looked at 4 years of mathematics did, recognizing the same things that this body is looking at. With regard to the concept that this will add an additional year of mathematics every year out into time infinity, I don't think that will happen. I think that the phrasing is accurate in simply meaning that after or the 2015-16 school year and thereafter, there will be one additional year providing for 4 years. It would be hard to do a fifth year of mathematics in a four-year time frame. Going to the concept of teachers having to rewrite the curriculum and all of the onus and burdens that we're putting on this, this is leaving it up to the local school board as to what they're going to consider to be that fourth year of math. It allows for it to be electives, which means that you have some flexibility in what those courses are going to be, and the local school board is going to be able to decide, Mr. Chairman, what the level of rigor is, how much mathematics it needs to have, and they might evolve that over time. They might develop more rigorous conditions and as they develop better and better curriculum, but it certainly isn't putting a heavy onus on right away. To those that say that this is just an extra fourth year of math, that is true. That's the intent. This is trying to get a fourth year of math. We're not going to hide behind that. But what we heard in the previous debate was a desire for flexibility and a desire for recognition that not everybody needs the same fourth year of math, and we need to leave it up to the school districts as to what that should be, recognizing that there are alternative career paths than going straight to college. This tries to capture that area of compromise, and hopefully the body can support this. on and for the amendment. Hope the body will support this and we can move forward.
Thanks, Senator Roth. Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, first request for the yeas and nays. Mr. Vice President, on and for this amendment. Now, remember, this is not, by and large, the kids that are going on to college. They'll take the success curriculum. They'll take the fourth year and probably be an academic version of math. This is for the students that are going out into the world of work. And one thing that, as I recall, when we had the select committee that did the initial success curriculum for the Hathaway Scholarship, one of the things that surprised me anyhow, was the extent to which some of the business community came in and testified that their students needed the mathematics in order to be able to do the kind of jobs that are available in our high-tech society, and particularly in our minerals-based high-tech society we have in this state. And the problem that you get into if you don't have that fourth year of math is that students don't take it in senior year, and they forget a good deal of what they've learned. And this enables the school board to say, for those students, let us give them a mathematics that will reinforce what they need to know to go out into the real world of work and get a job, whether you call it business math or information technology or what. That's the kind of math these kids need to know, and these are the kids that really need that reinforcement. So I think this is a good compromise, gives flexibility at the local level, and gets our students that are going to go to work after high school or go to the military the math they need to succeed. I urge its adoption.
Thank you. Senator Banderson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I won't repeat all the things that were just so well stated by the good senator from Natrona County, who understands this quite well and said it so well. I'll just simply say a couple things. Number one, by the order of the vote, you'll know where I stand quite early in the process. But I would hope that you would support this. And as I look at this, the good senator made a great distinction between the so-called college-bound and the workforce-bound. And I would just simply say, in regard to the workforce-bound, this amendment, which I hope that you would support, makes a strong statement in regard to the development or the discovery of those math programs that are integrated, and this is STEM language, but it's good language. Integrated, applicable, relevant, and the other thing in regard to the missing year, that which has recency to it. So without saying more, I just simply say this is a good amendment. It provides a compromise. I would hope you would support it.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate the words of an set of support, but what we're doing here, we're just changing it up a little bit to make it a little more palatable. We still have the students out there, Mr. Chairman, that have the learning disability. We're taking everybody on the team and say, you're going to dunk this basketball regardless of your height or your ability. You're going to dunk it, and now we're going to shove a stool underneath the basket here to help you out and get a little higher. Maybe you can dunk it then, but everybody's going to do this. What we're doing is just taking the local control away. We said, we got up and we heard the argument, well, there it is, the local control. No, it isn't. You're not doing that. You're not letting the board say, we can handle this on our own. In our case, we move one of our semesters of math up into the senior year to give them an opportunity to have that math as they go off to college. Those people on the success curriculum, they're already taking the fourth year of college or fourth year of math in preparation for that. Let's let the local board handle this on their own. Don't dictate it to them. They know what they're doing. Don't micromanagement. Let's oppose this amendment.
Thank you, Senator Stocksader. Ready for the? No, we're not ready for the question. Senator Wasserberger, your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Very quickly, in this last campaign, I found out how much local control means to the people of Wyoming. And I had a meeting in Douglas where people told me that we need to stop being the state school board here in the legislature. And I heard that message loud and clear. To my good friend from Albany County, who is stating that 15 states have 4 years of math, I did the math, and 35 states don't. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
I was going to ask Senator Wasserberger how many years of math he had, but we'll just let that one lie. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Appreciate the efforts of the sponsors in this amendment. It doesn't alleviate my heartburn on my original concerns. It's always at the cost of these electives, and I think these electives are more important than what we put in as a legislature of how important these electives are. But I mentioned in my previous comments, Mr. Vice President, we're getting the cart before the horse. I think there's other problems out there, especially in our smaller schools. They'll be facing this four-year requirement. Some of these schools, 9 through 12, have one math instructor, one. One. I'll give you an example. This might bring it home. That one math instructor might be a boys' basketball coach or a girls' basketball coach or a boys' soccer coach or the bus driver. I call it distractions. We think we do a pretty good job down here by saying 4 years of math, so many days of schooling is required to graduate. I propose, Senators, Mr. Vice President, that we're not getting those full days. With that math teacher sitting in front of that classroom teaching those kids, we're not there. We're not there. We might think we are. But this math teacher's on a bus headed somewhere else with the team, and we've got a substitute. And I would guess, Mr. Vice President, that happens more often than not. I mean, if you want an interesting study, go to your principals of your local high schools and ask them how many sick days, how many days that teacher was out of the classroom, how many times in a quarter or a semester that the actual teacher was there in front of those kids. I mean, this is the cart before the horse. Just because we say an extra hour of math is going to be required to graduate, again, it's been said, the success curriculum is there, 4 hours, 5 hours, college credits. Our students are taking advantage of that. We're trying to fit a round peg in a square hole. And, Mr. Vice President, there's other problems out there much bigger than this one that we're not even getting close to addressing.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Anybody else before the sponsor takes his second time?
Mr. Vice President, just to comment on the concerns a good senator from Bighorn County has. One of the things we looked into is the Hathaway Success Curriculum as it relates to small schools. Percentage-wise, we have a good percentage of kids going through the success curriculum out of small schools. Small schools will, in fact, figure out a way so their students can qualify for 4 years of math. Remember another thing, too, if there is a problem out there, and we'll hear about it in recalibration. That'll be the process that'll take place in the interim, starting after the session. We're going to do recalibration. We already did, after the last recalibration, came in with a small school adjustment to provide more resources for the small schools. What I like about this amendment is that, first of all, we ease the pain, like I said earlier when I was presenting the amendment. I don't think there's any question out there. If we're going to raise the bar on how our kids are doing out of high school, that this is one way to do it. Now, remember what this bill is all about. We spent more time talking about 4 years of math than we did the other gillion pages in the bill. This bill is about accountability. About phase one, which is assessment, and phase two, which we moved out. And phase two is the evaluation side of students and teachers and leaders that direct those students for student achievement. So I'd ask that you support the amendment. I think it's a good amendment. I think it works well for what we're trying to do in Wyoming to recognize the career tech kids out there. I ask that you support the amendment.
Ayes and noes having been called for. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft? Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platen?
Aye.
Wasserberger? President Nicholas excused. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 16 aye, 13 no, 1 excused.
My amendment is adopted.
Let's see.
Senate file. Are you ready for the question? We're back on the bill. Senate, ready for the question? Let's call the roll on Senate File 8-8.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
No.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft. Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Kinski?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Ross? Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platen?
Aye.
Wasserberger?
No.
President Nicholas excused. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 20 aye, 9 no, 1 excused.
Thank you. Senate File 8, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 8 has passed the Senate. Oh, we waited too long and our doctor left. Doggone it. It turned out we did have a doctor here today. If you see him, we have Dr. Bartholomew from Saratoga here today. And anyway, if you see him, we do have a doctor here today. Oh, he's in the back. Doctor, how are you? Come step right up here, doctor. We'd like to welcome you to the Senate, and we appreciate you being here today. Thank you, Doctor.
Hell, you just need a little. Oh, yeah, you know what you need after that? A little Bombay Sapphire.
Ms. Majority Floor Leader, wait a second. Ms. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business for consideration of bills on general file.
Mr. Vice President, I move that the Senate resolve itself and the Committee of the Whole discuss bills on general file. Mr. Vice President, we have to go out and come back in if we have some bills to come in so we can read them in so we can continue with general file.
Okay. We're going to read. You want to go ahead and do the motion now, Mr. Majority Floor Leader? Okay. Heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? No. Motion carried. We call on Senator Von Platen to approach the desk.
Good luck.
This one hasn't been touched yet.
All right. You're good to go.
Thank you. Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 55. Will the reading clerk please read in the bill?
Senate File 55, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, sponsored by the Select Water Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 5, Agricultural, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Dockstader, Emmerich, and Geis, Senator Geis, Chairman.
Chairman Geis.
Mr. Chairman, when the Committee of the Whole rise and report, I move Senate File 55, and I yield the floor to Senator Driscoll to explain the bill.
Senator Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring to you Senate File 55 and encourage you to vote for it. This bill comes to you from the Water Development Office. It is their new programs for the year. This is a fairly highly vetted out bill. Comes through the office through application from the sponsors, then goes to the Wyoming Water Development Commission after it's gone through the office, which is 10 members, which vet it, and then it comes to the Select Water Committee, which is 6 of the House and 6 of the Senate. Going through the bill, Section 1 is Reconnaissance Studies New Development. These are brand new programs that haven't been looked at before. Base level study at a base level. I'll quickly go through the projects. Bear River Watershed Study, Broken Wheel Ranch Master Plan, Byron Master Plan, Centennial Well and Master Plan, Cali Master Plan, Middle North Platte Glendale Watershed Study, Opal Master Plan, Powder Tongue Northeast Groundwater Analysis, Powder Tongue Northeast River Plan Update, Upper Laramie River Watershed Study, Upper Snake River Watershed Study, and the Statewide Water Research. And these all came out unanimously out of both. Other than the Statewide Water Research, there's only one of the projects actually came, which was a groundwater modeling for the Casper Aquifer. And the Select Water Committee from the House and Senate added in a second program that had been done. So that one's an add-on. The total cost of Section 1 is $3,187,338. These are pretty important studies for your cities and towns to get them to allow them to go on to Level 2 and proceed with their funding. Level 2 are feasibility studies. These have all had Section 2 Level 2 feasibility studies. These have had the Level 1 studies done, and these are the next level on. They've got the green light to go ahead and go to the next level on them. The projects on the Level 2 feasibility studies new development is Claremont Test Well Study, Green River Rock Springs, Sweetwater County Joint Powers Board Pipeline Feasibility Study, High Meadow Ranch Level 2, Newcastle Madison Well. The total appropriation on that section is $2,825,000. Moving to Section 3 is Reconnaissance Studies for Rehabilitation. These are the same. These are Level 1 studies, and they're looking at rehab of projects. The projects listed for them are the Deaver Irrigation District Master Plan Update, the LeClaire Irrigation District Master Plan. Total appropriations there is $337,000. These come out of dedicated funds, by the way. The water development accounts have dedicated funds that are already there. Section 4 is Level 2 Feasibility Studies Rehabilitation. These will be the Dry Creek Irrigation District Master Plan, Heart Mountain Canal Rehabilitation, and $260,000 total appropriation. Moving to Section 5, and these come out of Water Development Account 3. These are Level 2 feasibility studies for storage. These are typically big projects and require the Level 2 are pretty big projects. Big Sandy Enlargement, Clear Creek Storage, Grable Valley Irrigation District Storage Enlargement, Meeks Cabin Dam Enlargement, Middle Piney Reservoir. New Fork Lake Dam Enlargement, Knollwood River Storage, Alkali Creek, Knollwood River Storage, Meadowlark Lake. Shell Valley Storage, Levitt Reservoir. There's Section 5, amounts to $12,850,000. And the last section is reversions, and these are just monies that haven't been used. They revert back into the Level 1. on that, and there's one reversion for $113,036. The total appropriations is $19,459,338. Once again, these are monies that are already sitting in accounts that are merely drawn out of them after approval. I have a book that has in-depth each of these projects, so if you have individual questions on projects, I'll answer if I can. If not, I will come back to you on second reading for that. I would encourage you to pass this bill.
Further discussion on Senate File 55. Mr. Majority, floor leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. When you look at the first part, the level one projects, they're pretty much all cities, and then you have the, I'd like to have a little more discussion about the statewide water research. You know, where are we? I think that's been an ongoing thing. And then the Broken Wheel Ranch, I know it's in northwestern Lincoln County and the Salt River Basin. Is that involved with the town of Alpine, or is that separate? I'm trying to figure out where that's coming from and how that fits into with the other cities.
Anybody have an answer for that question? Senator Driscoll?
I will find the answer to it. Broken Wheel, by the way, is not a public entity at this point, and it will be one by the time it's done. They have to be a public entity to qualify for additional funding. But I will find the answer to whether Alpine participated or not. I didn't hear any comments in it. As far as the university studies, those were highly vetted again this year. The process has changed on those. They have, in the past, just kind of done them on their own. This year, the actual Select Water Committee only came with one, which was the groundwater modeling. That's on the Belvoir Ranch here around Cheyenne. And what it really does is analyzes data that's been collected on the Belvoir to a large degree and goes ahead, and that they believe this can be a model for some other aquifers around. So it's was kind of straight across approved. The second study that they did not approve that was added by the committee, the Select Water Committee, is added a new multifunctional sorbent for the co-produced waters from the energy industry. And that was debated fairly heavily by the Select Committee. And I think as a whole, the committee felt like it was a solid project. It was brought forward, went ahead and brought it back up, left us kind of within our funding levels. Thank you.
Further, Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, do any of these projects fit into the governor's 10 for 10 program?
Answer for that, Senator Driscoll.
Yes, all the large projects 10 for 10. And generally, there's a large fallout on those when you go through level two. That's the true rubber hits the road. They find out what the actual costs are, go in depth on the geology on them, and yeah, they'll fit in the governor's 10 for 10. And in truth, the Water Development Office, along with the commission and ourselves and the Select Committee, have worked hard to try to fit within the governor's framework of ocean water.
But further questions, discussion, Senator Geis?
Well, not a question. I just can explain. The phase one and phase two are all water development monies. The reason we do that is so we have an independent study rather than have other slant things different ways, and that's why count one and count two and count three in phase one, phase two are all 100% Wyoming development water. Now, the budget bill or the one construction bill coming from over in the House right now, now that'll have the percentages of what the local entities pay and what the state pays on all those projects.
Further discussion? Majority floor leader, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Getting back to the statewide water research, just to maybe a little more discussion, we've been doing this for a long time. And the process is there's an advisory committee that's made up that selects these topics, and then the University of Wyoming conducts the research. And I'm just trying to see, do we have some tangible results from some of these? And we did, in 2012 and 13, we did $400,000 each year. And we were supposed to have a due date of the report in 14. Just to be, if you could provide us with some information, the benefits we're actually getting from this research and seeing some tangible results rather than, and just, I just want to see some more information and see if this program's really working, because we've been doing it for a long time.
Senator
Geis, would you like to address that?
Mr. Chairman, we can request the reports on these, whichever ones you want, from the Water Development Commission. They have them all over there. The other thing, this book right here, you all have it, and it has all the reports of all everything we have done. They're in here. Goes clear back to I was just reading them this morning. 1986, 1987, Yoder Water Well. So there's a lot of information that you're asking for are already in this book right here.
Further discussion on Senate File 55. Senator Driscoll?
This has been a very controversial subject. We debated this at length on the floor last year on some. As far as what these studies do and how effective they are, I'm not going to sway either way on the thing other than to tell you that they have been controversial at times. We have revamped the program. It works differently than it did 2 years ago. We actually do have some oversight legislatively as far as the projects, not the contents of them, but the projects themselves. We actually have direct input, hence what you had this year, a program getting added back in. And be happy to explain on the side or in public more in depth if someone wants to spend the time on it.
Further discussion, Senate File 55. You ready for the question? Are you all those in favor of Senator Geis's motion when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 55, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Senate File 55 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 98. Will the reading clerk please read it in?
Senate File 98, School Athletic Safety, sponsored by Senator Landon. It was referred to Committee Number 4. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass, amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Coe, Dockstader, Pappas, and Rothless, Senator Co-Chairman.
Senator Coe, you've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that when Committee the Whole rise and report it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 98. There is a standing committee amendment, and I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Please read it in.
Senate File 98, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 2, line 21.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that standing committee amendment and defer to Senator Landon for an explanation of the amendment and the bill.
Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow senators, I bring to you Senate File 98, and I think it might be somewhat helpful, excuse me, to back up a little bit and give you a little bit of history as to what Wyoming has done with regard to concussions and athletic safety. I'm proud to say that the state Senate passed a bill about 4 years ago, you might remember, to establish or to require school districts out there to establish protocols with respect to athletic safety. We were one of the first states in America to do that, and I'm proud of the fact that we were out in front on that legislation. We take that very, very seriously. And as we discuss today, Senate File 98, I'd like to distinguish the fact that we're not attempting with this bill to pull back from any commitment that we made there to take that effort very seriously. What we're trying instead, Mr. Chairman, to do is to reduce the likelihood of liability arising from the states or a private entity, in other words, the Wyoming High School Activities Association, failure to institute adequate concussion protocols. Well, where does that come from? Well, let me just say that back on November 29th, there was a lawsuit filed in the state of Illinois. Those representing the plaintiff are suing the Illinois High School Athletic Association for establishing protocols, but they say that the protocols are not adequate. So what we're trying to do with this bill is to say that just by establishing protocols with your Wyoming High School Activities Association does not in and of itself lend us to liability on that issue. Here's the reason that our high school association and the National Federation nationwide are fairly concerned about this issue. Those representing the plaintiff, Mr. Chairman, in Illinois have said they are coming after every single state association on the issue of concussion. Do we have a concussion issue? Yes, we do. That's the injury du jour across our country. We know all about it. The National Football League, the NCAA, both of which have been sued, and there were huge out-of-court settlements. I don't blame the legal profession back there, the person representing the plaintiff in Illinois. I don't blame him for saying, hey, we're going after anybody we can. Our High School Activities Association came to me and asked if there isn't something that we could do to give some help or a little bit of comfort to our state association and to our districts out there with respect to being open to lawsuit. So what we did, Mr. Chairman, we took this issue to our Attorney General. And the answer back was a little bit disconcerting also because the Assistant Attorney General agreed that we are a little bit more open to liability simply by the fact that we have created these protocols. Now, I want to remind everybody that state officials and employees, as well as local government entities, including school districts, enjoy immunity from tort liability under the Wyoming Governmental Claims Act. And you'll remember that a couple of days ago we talked about the Recreation Safety Act. We also have that in our statutes. Generally speaking, participants in recreational activities, including high school sporting events, assume the inherent risks associated with engaging in those activities. And that is Statute 11121 through 123. That's our Recreation Safety Act. And that was, I wanted to remind you of that because in committee, we did have testimony that our school districts are covered, and they are. But while a lawsuit naming Wyoming School District, Department of Education, or the WHSAA as defendants would face those formidable legal defenses under those two acts, the Recreation Safety Act or the Wyoming Governmental Claims Act, the Attorney General said that those acts may not fully insulate organizers from liability. Specifically, a sympathetic plaintiff may contend that the legislature's explicit concussion protocol mandates create an additional obligation upon which the litigation may be premised. So with all of that in the background, Mr. Chairman, that leads us to Senate File 8, and or 98. Senate File 98 goes into our Code of Civil Procedure, Title 21, Chapter 3 and Article 1. The meat of the bill is on the bottom of page 2, the assumption of risk. And that paragraph says, concussions and other head injuries resulting from school athletic and cheerleading participation are an inherent risk, as defined under the statutes. No governmental entity, public employee acting within the scope of duties on behalf of a government entity or private organization, or person authorized to organize and administer school athletics shall be liable for any claim failure to implement or inadequacy of concussion-related protocols. That's the meat of the bill. Mr. Chairman, there was a standing committee amendment, and that's where the standing committee amendment comes in. I believe that the amendment was moved, and so I would just simply say that we had a good discussion in committee right here, folks, and it was the Education Committee's contention that we should eliminate the words on page 21 onto line 22, any claimed failure to implement. And so what the standing committee amendment does is eliminate any claimed failure to implement, Mr. Chairman, I guess we can deal with the Standing Committee Amendment at this time. I would be happy to answer any questions regarding the Standing Committee Amendment, or I would invite members additional comments in that regard, they can sure make them.
We're on the amendment. Further discussion on the amendment. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 98, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment has passed the committee. We're back on the bill. Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, a couple of other things with regard to the bill. Up in subparagraph 3I, we do add wrestling and cheerleading into the Recreational Claims Act. I have to be honest with you, I was surprised that these two particular sports were not included. They happen to be two of the drivers of liability insurance. Cheerleading might be king of the hill in that respect, and so we did add that language up above. If you move over underneath duties of boards of trustees under 21.3.110, we do add some language there. Implementation of this paragraph shall be subject to the immunity provisions underneath the Governmental Claims Act. Mr. Chairman, this is, and I'm sure that you may hear from members of the legal profession behind me, I don't want to misrepresent. This is a policy decision for us. It does build a little bit higher fence, and that's the intent of this bill, Mr. Chairman, is to try to offer a little bit better protection to our High School Activities Association with respect to sports injury out there. I think everybody, including that organization and our districts, and certainly people like me who work in the profession, we're doing everything we can every day to try to eliminate injury. But what this attempts to do is to protect Wyoming from outsiders who would come in and take opportunity to file what may end up being frivolous lawsuits. We can talk, if you wish, a little bit later, Mr. Chairman, about some potential ramifications of such a lawsuit, but I'm going to stand at this point and attempt to answer any questions regarding Senate File 98. Thank you.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, on the bill, in fact, on and against the bill, it 2 years ago or 3 years ago when the concussion protocol statute came before us, this is exactly the alarm that we sounded in this chamber, and this alarm was ignored. That what we were doing was we were setting up the state for liability by adopting the concussion protocol that we did. And so, sure enough, here we are a year or two later, and now here comes the real here comes that. So, quite frankly, the true solution to this thing is probably to go back and repeal the protocol and revise that along the lines that we discussed a couple of years ago, revise the protocol so that it doesn't impose a duty upon the school boards, but makes the recommendations that they should, but doesn't impose a very long and strict detail that made everyone feel much better that we were going to do something about concussions. And yet here we are, and the state's now been open to admittedly so now to liability because we passed a bill doing exactly what we were warned that we probably shouldn't do. So you could solve this also simply by going back and repealing that and making a more broad statement with respect to concussion protocols, and simply require school districts to come forward and develop a concussion protocol. But the mandatory language and the nature that we did in the protocol bill is why we have this bill before us today. Mr. Chairman, I'm also curious of why we would, when we do this, and looking at the way that the bill is structured now, keeping in mind that we felt that pumpkin patches and corn mazes were sufficiently risky that we did not provide them with the same protection. But now what are we doing here in this? Now we have law that says that the school district should go out and they shall provide, and we have lots of shalls in that percussion protocol statute. But then what are we doing from this? If you look, I think the key of this and what this bill does is it says that, and the real key of this, I think, is near at the bottom of page 2, when we talk about that, the long and short of it is that no governmental entity, public employee acting within the scope of duties on behalf of a governmental entity or private organization or person authorized to organize and administer school athletics shall be liable for the inadequacy of concussion-related protocols required by the concussion-related protocol statute we passed a couple of years ago. So now it doesn't matter. You can have the crappiest percussion protocol you have, and you're immune from liability. So we're saying, you know, all the stuff we said in the statute, we really didn't mean. Now you can do what you want. And, you could come back and you could probably say, I don't have to have really any percussion protocol other than the old one you had when I was a kid, which was squirt water on it, rub dirt on it, and get back in there. We know that that's not right. We know the concussions are serious. We know that we have to do better, and we have to watch better. We've got to make sure our coaches understand. We've got to make sure our trainers understand. We've got to make sure that parents understand the risks inherent in concussions. But what we're doing here is we're simply removing all of that. Now, it's important to recognize that what this says is you're limiting no governmental entity, public employee acting with the scope of duty. You can be completely negligent and still be within the scope of your duty. In fact, you might even very well be grossly negligent and still be within the scope of your duty. If you release the principal, the employee, you release the agent, which is the school district or the activities association. So as we do this, I probably know how this vote's going to go, but ultimately, when we do this, we have to be really, really careful. This should be a lesson to us. Then we come in with broad-sounding policy statements that sound really good, that we make a pronouncement from Cheyenne that somehow we think is going to make a difference and save kids and help them. And then 2 years back, we're later, and we're going to insulate everybody from the requirements that we laid on them. It's just a very interesting dichotomy that I see. We need to be careful. What we do down here makes a difference and affects people's lives. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to dovetail, because I ditto everything that the good senator from Natrona County said, but if you go into the assumption of risk, what's not in your bill, but that statute, paragraph B already provides a provider of any sport or recreational opportunity is not required to eliminate, alter, or control the inherent risk within a particular sport or recreational opportunity. So the question really comes down to, apparently, our concussion protocols are not good enough, apparently, that we mandated, and now we're saying no harm, no foul. Everybody's free from liability. And, you know, if we're going to have concussion protocols, they ought to be top-notch, and they ought to be in, and they ought to be implemented. And if they're not, then what are we doing?
Senator Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to take this into a little different level. We've been talking about protocols and liabilities and so forth. But when we, in our communities, hire coaches, let's keep it there. We hire coaches to teach kids a lot of lessons, but there's always a look at the win-loss record. And that's a big pressure in a community on a win-loss record. And that can cover a lot, or it can uncover, or it can hurt a lot. And so there's a lot of pressure out there. And when you have a student who is experiencing that cycle of concussions, and I'll use my own as an example, the pressure that that boy felt in school to come across his coaches in the hallway every day and have them ask him, are you going to play today? And the influence that he had on the team, evidently they really wanted him back out on the field. These are the kind of things that help protect our children, and I'd suggest that we be very careful before we weaken them and reduce liability. Let's take it down to the kids in your neighborhood and the people you know. These are tough sports, and more we're seeing a lot of pressure on them. And to remove protections or say the protections don't need to be so serious, I'd urge us to be very careful.
Further discussion, Senator Anderson.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, it's no secret my name's on the bill. Having had some experience, having been a coach and one who is 71 years old and still has some residuals from having been a high school player and a college linebacker, regardless of which way this bill goes, I think we need to continue to vet this whole issue even more carefully. If this bill were to go forward, I still think we need to answer questions in regard to how we deal with concussions in Wyoming. Speaking from the standpoint of a coach, and this has been some time ago, somebody mentioned about, you know, spit on it, rub a little dirt on it, get back in the game. I can remember being an assistant coach in charge of, quote, athletic training, and have kids come out with stingers. And stingers are kind of when you get a spinal compression and you get a shock out of it. And so then you on a small football field probably somewhere, I won't even use the name of the town, parents are all standing right there behind you. And some of them are calling you names and whatever else because you don't immediately put the kid back in. And so you're trying to decide how serious is this injury. So you hold up your hand. How many fingers? Well, if you came, if it were three and you said four, that's close. You know, so point being, we need, if this bill moves forward or if this bill doesn't move forward, interim is a term for kind of delay or a punt. I'm not suggesting that we delay or punt or whatever, but I'm suggesting that this is a bill that contains an issue that deserves very, very careful study in regard to where we're at medically, where we're at professionally, and whether or not in the development of protocols that we're actually giving these protocols to the people who are responsible. The worst feeling in the world is to be given all kinds of responsibility without necessarily the authority or the background. So I'll leave it to your, you know, to your judgments, whether you voted up, whether you voted down, but I think we need to continue to really vet this whole issue of concussions and come up with protocols that we can defend, that we can stand by, and we know that we can protect our players and legally our coaches and others. So with that, I'll just leave it at that, and I would leave it to you to vote. But I would vote to move the bill forward myself, and then we'll come back and visit and do some more work on it.
Further discussion, Senate File 98, Jim Anderson, 28.
Mr. Chairman, I rise to speak for all the redneck Zamboni drivers in the state. I see that we're trying to ruin the cheerleading outfit by including cheerleading in this, and we object for the cheerleaders.
Further discussion, Senator Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I guess the concern that I have with this bill is that it might give some of our trainers, some of our educators, whoever is involved in this whole process, a false sense of security. That they might feel that they could be even a little bit more aggressive than is reasonable because, what the heck, they're immune from liability. You know, so that's a concern I have, is that, it might provide some people with a false sense of security, you know, such as some of these safety bags and some of the safety things that we have in cars. I think some people just think they're immune from any kind of accident because of all the safety features. But on another point, it'd be interesting if this kind of language were put into our math curriculum. Flunking high school resulting from participating in math is an inherent risk, and no individual will be fired or demoted because of low participation in the graduation rates in high school.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the bill, Senator Ross.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It seems to me, having thought through this now, that this I'd like some discussion, and I know that the good sponsor is being talked to at this point in time, so give him a chance to catch my question. But what is the state of our protocols? It seems to me that if we've implemented good protocols, this bill is bass-ackwards. It ought to be, if you've adopted these protocols, then you're okay. That we determine what those protocols are and say, fine. But not the other way around, as this bill says, which was, if you don't adopt those good protocols, you're still, or you don't implement those protocols, you're still immune. So let's reverse that. We can fix this bill. But it seems it's got to go the other way around to me.
Further discussion, Senator Office.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the comments by a good senator from here in Laramie County, and that's similar to the conversation I had with the sponsor of this, in that I think the intent here to limit exposure to unreasonable levels of liability or egregious lawsuits that just don't make sense, that's the spirit of the intent of the legislation. Unfortunately, the way it's being carried out is to just eliminate really any liability as a means of trying to capture that extreme situation. Hopefully we can find some approach, and I support it in committee for that reason, recognizing that maybe we can come out here on the floor, get some of our good legal minds at work on this, and come up with a way that we can thread the needle so that if you have protocols in place, you're implementing the protocols, you're trying to keep them up, and you're taking a reasonable approach to this, then the state can offer protection for that. But just throwing your hands up and saying, you know, we're going to let everyone off the hook, that's what I'm concerned with. So I'd like to try and move this legislation forward, give the opportunity to the sponsor to come up with that solution, work with some others in the Senate, and see if we can come up with a way that we can properly address the concern without throwing out the good work that the senator from Natrona County did a few years ago in helping to protect our kids from concussions and mitigating those risks.
Senator Scott. Mr. Chairman, look in the statutes as to what we have actually done here. And what we did was require that we adopt protocols to address the risks associated with concussions and other head injuries. And then we prescribed some things that have to be in the protocol. Shall include training of coaches and athletic trainers, facilitate recognition of the symptoms. You know, any responsible protocol is going to have to do that. Address restrictions concerning participation in school athletic events after suffering a concussion or head injury. Again, any reasonable protocol is going to have to do that. Apply with the law. C, include means for providing students and parents information on head injuries and concussions related restriction on participation in athletic events. That's reasonable. That's a reasonable requirement. The requirements in the statute we passed before, Mr. Chairman, are eminently reasonable, and I think we can count on our local school districts to implement them. It was said that the way to fix this is to say if you followed those, you're fine. And that's what the bill does, particularly with the Standing Committee Amendment. Seems to me that it already does that. Now, we did leave the specifics of the protocol up to local control. That's been our normal policy in these school matters. We've got local control here. If you want to go otherwise, I guess you get the State Board or the State Department of Education to mandate a protocol and say if you followed that, you're fine. What this is saying is you follow your local protocol. There's no failure to implement. You're fine. And the requirements we have for what's in the local protocol specify the things that really need to be there. They don't specify the specifics. And the trouble is that our legal system attacks on any handle it can find, regardless of the facts, in order to try to force settlements, because it's so expensive to fight them. And I think we're, with the bill as it stands, I think we're in good shape. I suppose you could say if the protocol omitted one of the three required things, then you're not. But that's not going to be the case in the real world. Those are all sensible things you've got to put in the protocol. So look at what we've already passed. We as a legislature and we as a society are trying our best to deal with a situation with a risk that our young people face as they play athletics. The risk is somewhat inescapable. We can act, and we have, responsibly to mitigate that risk. And the trouble is that when you act responsibly, they use it as one more hook to sue you. And if we're going to continue high school athletics, and it's not just football or basketball, it's the whole list of them that are subject to this risk, we're going to have to provide some protection, or it's going to be something that we can't afford. And, Mr. Chairman, I will represent to the Senate, having watched my children participate in several of the sports on this list, that, yes, we knew there was a risk there. The risk of getting concussions, the risk of, you know, the risk of getting a broken leg, too. Probably a greater risk. There's a risk to it, but the benefits that the student gets from, first, on a personal level, the physical activity involved. And one of our big problems is obesity and lack of physical activity. And second, in a developmental perspective, from the risk, the benefit of participating in a successful team endeavor, Mr. Chairman, prepares students in all kinds of ways for participating in the real world. And if we're going to keep these benefits, we have to have bills like this to keep the legal profession at bay.
Further discussion, Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, from the good senator from Campbell County. You know, I spent a lot of time in my life coaching and teaching, and also as an athletic director. So 31 years of that, I dealt with athletes that were injured. And several years ago, this body passed some requirements on concussions, and we trained our coaches in that protocol. But the other part of it is, by my count, I have four different policies of insurance that guarantee me if I should ever make a mistake. I have $4 million of coverage. And you know what? If I ever did make a mistake and an athlete was seriously hurt because of a decision that I made, I'd feel pretty bad that I paid for all that insurance and they didn't get that money. So schools are covered. And I understand what the sponsors are trying to do, but I would want that child, that athlete, to have that money at that point. So I was originally in favor of this bill, and now I'm wondering what I'm doing. So that's where it's at, Mr. Senator.
Further discussion, Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I never cease to be amazed at the great minds that I have the opportunity to sit with in this body, and really appreciate the discussion we've had. I think it does bring into relief that we have a situation out there that was very well articulated by my friend from Natrona County. What I would suggest, Mr. Chairman, is that we lay this bill back for a day. That would give me an opportunity to work with a couple of folks in the body, and maybe come back again later in the week with something that might be a little more palatable, a little bit more workable to the body. So without objection, I would set this bill back.
Is there any objections on setting back Senate File 98 for one day? If not, it's so moved. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 101, Veterans In-State Tuition, with a reader, please read. One day.
Senate File 101, Veterans In-State Tuition, sponsored by Senator Landon. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Anderson, 02, Cole, Dockstader, Pappas, and Rothfuss, Senator Cole, Chairman.
Senator Coe, you've heard the reading. What's your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman, move in committee the whole rising report to do so with a do-pass recommendation on Senate File 101. There is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Reading clerk.
Senate File 101, standing committee amendment number 1, page 2, line 5.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that standing committee amendment, and while he's hot, defer to Senator Landon.
And more successful, we hope, this time. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's District 27 day here in the Senate, and I bring to you fellow senators Senate File 101. A little quick background on this bill. It was an issue that came about because of the passage of the Veterans Access Choice and Accountability Act of 2014 by our colleagues at the federal level. And what that piece of legislation essentially does is to provide in-state tuition throughout the United States, no matter in-state, out-of-state, for a veteran. They are to be afforded in-state rates if they choose to live in a state. So that's the crux of it. The issue came to our Transportation and Military Affairs Committee, Mr. Chairman, which you chaired during the interim, and we simply ran out of time as a committee to even consider this this issue because it was very late in the game. And so thus the bill comes to you a little bit late, and I will submit to you that it's been quite the challenge to bring our statutes into line with federal language. I don't know how many of you have had that experience to try to mirror federal language, but it's not as easy as it sounds. And so we do have a standing committee amendment. And what that attempts to do, fellow senators, is just clean this bill up. We've tried to work with our financial aid officers out there, and we've tried to work with the feds to come up with the best language possible. And we still weren't quite there. So, Mr. Chairman, that's what the standing committee amendment essentially, I can walk you completely through how that tracks, but essentially that's cleanup language to make sure that we're talking about veterans and eligible dependents. And so without anything further, unless there's a question on the standing committee amendment, I would move the standing committee amendment and ask for favorable consideration.
We're on the amendment. Anybody have any further conversation on the amendment? If not, all in favor of Senator Coe's motion for the standing committee amendment number 1 to Senate File 101, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Standing committee 1 to Senate File 101 has passed the committee of the whole. We're back on the bill, Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, that's the gist of the bill. This brings Wyoming in line with federal statutes. A little bit of heartburn created in December when the Fed sent us a letter and said, you either comply with this or we will not send your colleges or your university their post-911 GI benefit money. In other words, we won't pay federal financial aid if you don't abide by what this law says. So we really have no choice. It amounts to the threat of a lot of money at the University of Wyoming and a lot of money at our colleges, and so that's why the bill is in front of you. Would urge its passage. Thank you.
Further discussion on Senate File 101? Seeing none. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 101, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 101 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, may I privilege the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Member of the Senate, it's the intent of your floor leader to come back and work those four bills that are on general file up there. They haven't been read in, so we'll come back right after lunch, read those in, and go back into general file. If we should get a couple more out of committee, we'll see how they look, and we might put them up. With that, Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again.
Heard the motion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Vice President.
No. Here we go. Ellen? Yeah. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Mr.
Are there any announcements? Senator Cooper.
Mr. Chairman, your travel committee.
Hang on one second, Mr. Senator Cooper. I'm being corrected. So all we have is we've heard the... Can we do it now? Yes, we have the motion. Do we have the motion to recess? We already have the motion, right? Announcements and then we vote. Wait a second. Hang on. We're going to listen to the chief clerk. Okay, we have a motion, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. We have a motion to recess the Senate until 2 p.m. Is that correct?
Mr. Vice President, there's a motion to beg leave to rise and sit again, do announcements, and then announce the time. We'll come back, and we'll come back and get after it again.
All right. So you've heard the motion. Now we do the announcements. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Thank you. Senator Cooper.
Thank you. Glad we got that all straightened out. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, your travel committee number 6 will meet Tuesday tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room S14 to consider Senate File 103, Bicycle Pathways and Highway Separation, and Senate File 109, State Parks Leases Legislative Approval.
Thanks, Senator Geis.
Mr. Vice President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Land, Water Resources, will meet tomorrow night, Tuesday night upon adjournment. We'll take up Senate File 80, Trespassing to Collect Data Civil Cause of Action, Senate File 108, Access to Private Land Restrictions, and SJR 6, Sage Grouse.
Thank you. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Your committee number 2, Senate Appropriations, has a number of bills on re-referral. We got an hour to work them, and then we will be meeting to continue our round robin with the Joint Appropriations Committee. So for those of you who have re-referrals, we'll take up Senate File 42, Task Force on Mineral Taxes, Senate File 45, Digital Information Privacy Task Force, Senate File 63, Predator Ownership, Senate File 68, Property Rights Ombudsman, Senate File 78, Educational Dual Language Immersion Programs, Senate File 81, Lifesaver Program 2. We will not take up Senate File 91 today due to a commitment by the sponsor of charter school eligibility bonus payments.
Thank you. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Your Corporations Committee number 7 will meet tomorrow morning. Note the time, 7 a.m. in room S-19 to take up Senate Joint Resolution 1, Right of Privacy Constitutional Amendment, that's a reconsideration. Senate File 36, Personal Identifying Information Definitions. Senate File 35, Security Breach Notifications. Senate File 41, Employee Online Privacy. Senate File 50, Tribal Liaison. Senate File 47, City Engineers, Duty to Estimate Private Project Costs. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Senator Case. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet today upon adjournment in room S14 to consider Senate File 95, Speed Limits, and Senate File 97, Department of Transportation Communications Facilities.
Thanks, Senator Johnson. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, your Management Council will meet upon adjournment tomorrow, Tuesday, January 27th, in room 302 here in the Capitol.
Any other announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.